This is Sports 180. Thank you for being with us. With Heather Harrington, I'm Josh Ward. We begin hour number two of Sports 180 today. We'll talk to Braden Gall coming up at 1:30. A lot to talk about with Braden when he joins the show in about 25 minutes as we continue at Ted Russell Ford Lincoln online, tedrussellford.net. Just shared a photo at Sports 180 on Twitter as well. If you want to check out the Bronco online, you can check it out in person here at the Kingston Pike location.
Yes, you definitely can. Walk through the doors. You're going to see all the different options that they have available to you on the lot. If you want to browse at home or do a little online shopping, you can find them at tedrussellford.net. Choose from hundreds of available of pre-owned vehicles especially. They're paying over Kelley Blue Book value for trades, so sell them your car outright or use it to upgrade to a nearly new model. Either way, you're going to be winning when you're doing business with Ted Russell Ford. Their service department is incredible. They're going to be able to get you in, get your vehicle fixed up right, take care of your vehicle over the life of that vehicle, and you're just going to love doing business with these guys and gals out here at Ted Russell Ford.
Stop by and see us. We'll be here until 3 o'clock at the Kingston Pike location at the corner of Walker Springs Road. You can also find Ted Russell Ford Lincoln on Parkside Drive and online anytime at tedrussellford.net. Heather, we have the 18-game schedule for Tennessee basketball in terms of which teams Tennessee will play, home and away. The home slate will feature games against Arkansas, Auburn, Florida, Kentucky, LSU, Ole Miss, South Carolina, Texas A&M, and Vanderbilt. The Vols will travel to Alabama, Arkansas, Georgia, Kentucky, LSU, Mississippi State, Missouri, South Carolina, and Vandy. Basketball season.
I am so ready. The answer to question number one on the face-off should have just been Kennedy Chandler, but because I am so pumped on that freshman coming in.
Yeah.
And then talking to Aaron Torres last hour and getting his thoughts and kind of hearing some snippets of the Rick Barnes interview that he had on his pod. I mean, just bring it on. I am so ready. I mean, Tennessee facing off with Arkansas in a home-and-home and Kentucky in a home-and-home. There's a lot of intrigue as those two programs, I think, will very much be contending for an SEC title. And hoops is just very compelling right now with the roster that not only Tennessee has put together, but the amount of talent that's going to be in the league. It's going to be incredible.
Yep. Two games against Arkansas will be a lot of fun. You know about the two games against Kentucky. Fans always look forward to the two games against Vanderbilt. So basketball season will be a lot of fun for Tennessee to go along with a non-conference slate, which is going to be about as strong as any team will play in the country.
And thanks to the schedulers, Tennessee could be able to capitalize, because look at Kentucky's schedule. They're playing Bama twice. They're going to play Tennessee twice, like we were talking about. And they got to play LSU, who I have seen a couple of places put LSU in the sleeper category. Like, don't forget about Will Wade and those guys down in Baton Rouge. They're going to be really good, too.
Yep. You get Bruce Pearl in Knoxville. So Auburn coming to town this year.
Yeah, that'll be good. That is a game that you just really want to see Tennessee win. The mm-hmm. Bruce winning percentage over Rick Barnes right now, I hate it as much as I love the Rick Barnes winning percentage over John Calipari. I know it's like stranger things have happened and weird stuff can occur, but Bruce loves to play the villain role now in Knoxville, so he's going to be highly motivated for that game.
Yes, I think that he will notice when Tennessee's on the schedule. Yeah. And you would too if you were in his position, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I mean, and in large part, we can thank Bruce for, like, what the – I'm not saying that it's the house that Bruce built, but he definitely helped.
The one that he renovated.
Yeah. He came in and he did the fixer-upper, Joanna and Chip Gaines style.
Yeah. He and Auburn currently have a 6-game win streak against Tennessee.
Yeah, yeah. It's just incredible. And they have not – I mean, now last year they had a really good roster and they had some really good pieces, but I think Tennessee has had the better roster consistently. I mean, you go back to title.
Like this past season, Tennessee had the clear advantage.
Yeah. Yeah, and they don't have the wins to show for it. And I think even back when Tennessee ended up sharing the SEC title with Grant Williams and those guys on the roster, I mean, I thought Tennessee had the team, and it was Auburn getting that win that really caused the dominoes to fall where Tennessee had to share the title.
Right, Auburn had the head-to-head win. They shared the title. Auburn was the one seed. For the SEC because of that win, which was early in SEC play. So, yeah, that'll be one to pay attention to. But the SEC schedule combined with who Tennessee will play non-conference will provide a lot of fun for Tennessee fans in basketball. So you have that. We've talked about NFL training camps opening up. This isn't fun for Kelvin Benjamin. I need to find out what happened here. But Kelvin Benjamin, some fans may remember he won a national title at Florida State as a wide receiver, was a pretty good player for a few years with the Carolina Panthers. He has not played in the NFL in 3 years. And on day one with New York Giants training camp, trying to make a comeback now as a tight end. He's kind of big there late in his time as a receiver in the NFL. Trying to make a comeback as a tight end, will be released by the Giants, was seen having a heated exchange with head coach Joe Judge and general manager Dave Gettleman on the practice field. Not the start to the comeback that Kelvin Benjamin was looking for.
I did see somebody point out in like the Twitter thread there's really only one reporter saying that it was a heated exchange and that he stormed off the field. There were other reporters saying that it wasn't a heated exchange and he walked off the field with his head down, but there's obviously drama there.
If he's going to be cut, that's the ultimate story of maybe the end before it even began for Kelvin Benjamin trying to come back. Saw that Juwan Jennings has been placed on the reserve COVID list for the San Francisco 49ers as they begin training camp. Another former Tennessee player, Jalen Hurd, who was a teammate of Juwan's in Knoxville, he passed his physical, it looks like. So he's coming back from back issues 2 years ago, torn ACL last year, to try to come back and play receiver for the 49ers, a team that is trying to get back a bunch of players from injury last year.
Yeah, and a team that if they do get all those players back, and then we'll see what happens with the quarterback spot, that could be very much in contention again. And that was really why they got derailed last year with so many different injuries on offense and on defense. But I just hope for Jalen Hurts' sake, I want to see what he can do. I want him to be healthy. I really enjoyed cheering for him when he was here at Tennessee, and I know it didn't end great, but you know, like, life is bigger than your years here at Tennessee. I want him to make some money and have a great career, because I mean, he was a really talented guy. I mean, just a freak athlete.
Right. I don't think Tennessee would have had the success that it did in a short amount of time if not for Jalen Hurts. So all the best to him. Also, I don't know if you've seen this with the NFL training camps opening up. Vaccination status is a storyline. I don't know if you've noticed that in the NFL. I joke, but Carson Wentz was asked earlier today if he's vaccinated. He declined to answer, said it's a personal situation while wearing a mask, so we can maybe guess what the answer is. Ryan Tannehill told the media he is in the process of being vaccinated and says he would not have done it without the protocols that the NFL is forcing on us. That's a quote from him and how he described it. But I would also say the protocols that they are forcing on the players is working, because we've seen the reported vaccination status go up. And there is one player saying on the record that he was not vaccinated and now will be because of the NFL rules.
Yeah, so I think we can assume Ryan Tannehill, he's one shot in, one shot to go. So good on you, Tannehill, getting vaxxed. Ron Rivera of the Washington football team, he came out and basically publicly criticized his team.
Said he's very disappointed.
The low numbers. And don't forget, that is somebody that is still immune compromised based on the cancer diagnosis of last year and the treatment that he had to undergo. So I mean, it's just such a crazy time that we're living in, and you think for a minute, like, oh, I got vaccinated, I'm totally fine, and now you're finding out that you can still contract the virus, although not have as bad of effects from it as if you're unvaccinated. And I mean, it's just, I understand everybody's, you know, want to do what they feel is right, but you just really have to consider when you are in a team setting, when you are in a work environment, it's not just about you, it's about everybody else that you come into contact with on a day-to-day basis. And, you know, at some point in time, you really need to do an analysis of, okay, if I'm not doing it, what does that mean? Versus if I am doing it, what does that mean?
Lamar Jackson tested positive for COVID-19. He had tested negative for 5 days, tested positive. Unvaccinated players are subject to daily testing. Vaccinated players are required to get tested once every 14 days. So that gives you an indication of his status, but they're looking at the results and we'll continue to evaluate there. But it's happening right now, not happening in the season, of course, but that'll continue to be a storyline. The Ravens are at a 90% vaccinated rate, according to John Harbaugh, the head coach. The entire coaching staff is already vaccinated in Baltimore. We'll continue the conversation today on Sports 180 with some football on the field conversation. We'll talk to Braden Gall coming up at 1:30 from 440 Sports. Tennessee offensive coordinator Alex Golish is scheduled to join us at 2:15. seen this afternoon. As our show continues at Ted Russell Ford Lincoln, the Kingston Pike location on 99.1 The Sports Animal. This is Sports 180. Thank you for being with us. With Heather Harrington, I'm Josh Ward. We'll talk to Braden Gall, 440 Sports, coming up at 1:30.
How about this from Tom Pelissero? I opened Aaron Rodgers' press conference by asking, what was all this about for you? And Pelissero says, he has been talking for 5 straight minutes and counting, detailing the entire timeline of his issues as he talks with the Packers, and there's no way to reduce it to tweets, but we'll have it all on NFL Network. Get me the transcript of that answer ASAP, Josh Ward. I am in on the disgruntled Aaron Rodgers. Is this Festivus for him today? Is he just airing all the grievances? I mean, I'm
We
pumped.
Celebrate Festivus on December 23rd in the Ward House, I'll tell you that much. But Aaron Rodgers 2021 is going to be quite the storyline.
It really is, because I think I know the answer to how many bleeps are going to be given for him, and it's going to be zero.
Not a whole lot.
Yeah, not a whole lot.
Not
but
a whole lot.
He's also going to be very motivated because he's working on a future deal somewhere else. And I saw somebody ask the question, you know, how many teams would pass, even if you feel good about your quarterback situation, how many teams are going to pass on potentially getting Aaron Rodgers for 3 to 5 years?
Especially after watching Tom Brady show up and win a Super Bowl in year one.
100%. There's not a list that is that long of people that are going to pass on an Aaron Rodgers, especially if he has a great season this year. So it's going to be must-watch television in Green Bay, which is good that he's playing, because they're also having 11 primetime games on the various channels this season.
Yeah, and not that I know anything, but I still looked at that this offseason and said, the NFL's not putting the Green Bay Packers on primetime that many times for Jordan Love, right?
That's true.
No offense to him. You can get a storyline or two out of that, but unless you think he's going to be the next great quarterback, that slot is for Aaron Rodgers.
Yes. Sometimes you got to get in the weeds. You got to get down in those weeds with Josh Ward so that you can point out all the little nuances to us. But yeah, I think you're spot on when they didn't alter that schedule, and that schedule still came out with all those dates listed.
Yeah. ESPN, you don't think they've played some kind of role with what's happening with college football realignment? I don't say that as criticism. I just say it's obvious, right, that ESPN would play some kind of role so that the schools and the conferences would know what is available for them if they make this kind of move.
Yeah, they're like, oh, we can add Texas and Oklahoma to the SEC network, which we created. Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, and do away with the Longhorn Network. I imagine we'll end up being a part of this and transition them into all the SEC coverage.
Yes, yeah. And then what ESPN is also set to already take over, right, for CBS?
Yeah,
so more opportunity.
Yes, content.
SEC Media Days, we're going to have to wiggle our way back into that when OU and Texas join the mix, because that's going to be some must-watch interview opportunities.
Well, we have plenty of time. They're not joining till 2025, according to their statement, right? That's the plan. It's what the contract says.
I did see somebody note they are voting. The SEC membership will vote as soon as tomorrow on accepting. So, yeah, 2025 still seems like a very appropriate timeline.
Yep. The Big 12, did I understand correctly, they have reversed the rule, and it's now a 15-yard advancement if you do hook them down?
Oh, I cannot wait to do some hook 'em downs. I mean, they really take it as you're giving them the finger.
Yeah. But, you know, college sports are weird about stuff like that. Like the Gator Chomp in the SEC, it has a lot of weird responses on the Florida side versus the other side.
Yeah, the Grant Williams Gator Chomp, one of my favorite moments, because I think you know the place that the Florida Gators hold in my heart.
Wait, it can cause people to lose their minds, too. We did a show that Monday after the game that Tennessee won, and the players were doing the Gator Chomp, and had some fans worried that the players would lose their focus for the next opponent. I think they're just celebrating in the moment. So, you know, I think Grant Williams will be fine collecting his focus, and Admiral Schofield and Jordan Bowden in them. So, anyway, yeah, it's just college sports. It's a weird, weird place, and hook 'em up or hook 'em down is a big part of it.
It's a weird and it's a fun place, and you just want that to continue, and you don't want too much of it to change to where you don't identify with it anymore. But in all honesty, that could also be just a little bit of an overreaction by all of our parts, because we're also going to watch. I don't anticipate our viewership is going to go down at any point in time.
No, of course not. You know who would be the ultimate, I think, hook 'em downer, and the only way we'll get to see it would be through postseason play. I don't think they're playing in the regular season, but Drew Gilbert, Mr. Batflip. If he went bombs away, if he went with a walk-off grand slam against Texas, Drew Gilbert's running around the bases with two hook 'em downs, isn't he?
Yeah. Actually, I think they call it strutting around the bases. There were some struts by Drew Gilbert.
It'd probably be at a casual pace.
Yeah, bring it on. But, yeah, especially because of what Texas means to baseball, what their legacy is. I mean, adding a crown jewel to SEC baseball, which has already been taken very seriously, and it's going to go up a notch. I mean, regular season matchups between Mississippi State and Texas, now LSU and Texas. Hopefully Tennessee is in that mix, the Battle of the UTs. It's going to be fun.
Yep. Are they changing the Big 12 SEC Challenge to just the SEC-SEC Challenge for Tennessee?
No,
Texas
because
this year?
It's not this season,
oh,
Josh.
Okay. Excuse me. I'm sorry.
Still, yeah.
Well, here's what I've noticed as we wrap up this segment. In the last 48 hours, Heather's coming on. She's hopping on board here. I think you're getting behind this movement. You're starting to get excited about the Texas inclusion into the SEC.
I still have very deep-rooted concerns with how Tennessee is going to make its march back. But the bottom line is also that if Tennessee finds the right person, mm-hmm. the right person at the right time, they can make their way out of anything, because we have seen programs get resurrected from, I mean, look at Baylor, you know, that was a team that when Art Briles came in, those guys worked some magic, and it happened pretty fast, and they put together an amazing product, then it all fell apart, as we know. But there's just tons of examples of, if you have the right people in charge, you can build it up no matter where you're at.
We'll come back. Braden Gall, what does he think about what's happened the last few days? We'll talk some football on the field with training camps opening up in the NFL, Tennessee opening up next week. Alex Golish, Tennessee's offensive coordinator, set to join us at 2:15 this afternoon. Today's show continues at Ted Russell Ford Lincoln, the Kingston Pike location. Another 90 minutes to go right here as we hit a midday sports minute from Joel Silverberg on the Sports Animal. Back on Sports 180, thank you for being with us. We are here for another 90 minutes. We have a lot to get to. We'll tell you more about what's going on here at Ted Russell Ford Lincoln, the Kingston Pike location. You can go to twitter.com/sports180 and check out the Ford Bronco that we posted from right here inside the showroom. You can see it set up next to a beautiful F-150, by the way. You can find them online, tedrussellford.net. We'll be here for another 90 minutes, so we'd love to see you here. You can go online, though, have them come to you for a remote test drive to make it super easy for you. At locally owned and operated Ted Russell Ford Lincoln, we're at the Kingston Pike location. You can also find them at Parkside Drive. Parkside Drive, Kingston Pike, and online, tedrussellford.net. You can find the voice of Braden Gall on a number of different channels with 440 Sports. He joins us now on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline. Braden, good afternoon. How are you?
Doing well. How are you guys?
Hey, we're doing well. What do you make of the last 6 or 7 days in college football as it relates to the future of college athletics? And you can probably just take up the rest of the segment with your answer if you want to.
Yeah, I prefer you go listen to Fringe Element Podcast, where we talk with Jeff Ketchum of OrangeBloods.com, and who covers Texas for, I don't know, God knows, 20 years, and really just sort of explain how it all happened, why it happened, outside of money, because we all know money's at the heart of it all. But there's a lot more there. There's a lot to understand about Texas politics, and I don't mean that like in the traditional sense. I mean that, and Tennessee fans know this, just about how there's lots of infighting, and Texas has not been as good as they should be, and Oklahoma's sort of along for the coattails, riding the coattails into the league. You know, I think it's great for SEC football. I think it's great for people that want big matchups, that want to watch nationally televised games. I'm a little concerned about the path it puts us on. if this was like, if we're in Terminator 2, like, was that the moment that Skynet was activated? Like, that's what I feel like a little bit concerned about, is that 30 years from now, we're going to have a 40-team super conference, and like Vanderbilt, South Carolina, and the Mississippi schools won't even be invited. So there's a minor concern about that, but otherwise, it's great for Texas. It's great for Oklahoma. It's great for the SEC. It's great for the TV partners. I mean, four or five teams minimum are probably going to make the playoff every year. It's not a surprise that the SEC went out and took the two biggest commodities that could be available in the marketplace outside of Notre Dame and just said, you know what, we're going to start this whole thing early and put our foot in the ground and put our flag on the top of the mountain. So it's not a surprise. I think people were surprised, but the logic of it is not surprising at all. You know, after that, guys, there's a million questions with a million different answers. So, and we can, Tennessee's right at the heart of, I think, one of the most critical questions, which is, you know, if they were the fifth or sixth best program in the SEC before Texas and Oklahoma, where are they now? And that's a major question, I think, for Auburn, Tennessee, Arkansas, South Carolina, that middle tier. You know, that's a big question. If you're expecting Tennessee to rise from the ashes and compete for championships, it just got harder. So,
yeah, you're absolutely right, Braden. And I think that's been our biggest concern, at least here, is like, how do you build back when now it's going to be harder to go to the state of Texas and get recruits? And Tennessee already had a lot of hurdles in front of them. How do you see it in the short term, though, before Texas and Oklahoma get in the league, of what that transition looks like? How long will it take? And when will they be part of the SEC schedule?
I would assume that all this is done by 2023. The playoff is expanded. I think there's going to be a lot less movement in realignment than people realize. I think, you know, I love going on Twitter and being like, West Virginia to the ACC and TCU and Oklahoma State to the Big Ten, and everybody in Texas left goes to the Pac-12, and plus be at Boise State. Like, I love doing that stuff too. It's like catnip and, you know, put it right into my veins. Like, I'm all for it. But I actually don't think there's a whole lot that's going to happen. In fact, I reported on Wednesday that, or excuse me, what day is it? Today's Wednesday? Yesterday, Monday. I don't know what day it is. But whatever day that this all broke, I had somebody tell me that the Big Ten and the Pac-12 is working on a scheduling alliance. So the whole point is to expand without expanding. And so I don't know how much more stuff is going to happen, which means all you've got to really work out, if those eight teams left want to just kind of add the AAC or vice versa and sort of create the fifth conference that sort of is a Power Five conference, but not really, I think all this could be ironed out pretty quickly. And I think by 2023, you'd be fine. And I think that's not a coincidence that Texas and Oklahoma and expansion all happened in the same month. I don't think that was an accident. And so if the nuclear bomb destroys the Big 12, And what Oklahoma and Texas are rooting for, which is sort of an organic, you know, disintegration of the conference, well, they're out of their contract obligations at that point. So then they can slide over. Didn't they do this with Missouri and A&M, and then they argued a bit, and then the very next year they were playing football in the SEC. So it won't happen this year, obviously. So it's going to be super weird, which will be fun for us for Big 12 games this year. But I wouldn't be surprised if it was next year, and I would say no later than 2023.
We're talking to Braden Gall with 440 Sports, as he mentioned, the Fringe Element podcast. Good to check out right now. What about on the field, Texas, with it coming to the SEC, and we'll find out exactly when, maybe sometime soon, but what is Texas football about to become, do you think, with Steve Sarkisian now entering year one running that program?
But one person is, like, probably furious about all this, right? Steve Sarkisian is like, wait a second, I didn't sign up for this crap. I wasn't planning on being in the same division as Nick Saban and LSU and Jimbo Fisher. That wasn't the idea. Everybody likes to make fun of Texas, rightly so. They underachieve. It took Texas A&M 10 years to build what they are today, which is a competitive SEC program. They had to fire a coach, spend $600 million, like, a lot of stuff had to happen for A&M to get to where they are today, which is one spot away from the playoff, preseason top 10 team, and sort of an elite program at this point, a la Georgia or Alabama. And so, everybody makes fun of Texas, but if you put the right guy at Texas and the right guy at Oklahoma and then give them 4 years to recruit in the SEC, they're going to be fine. I think it's one of the silliest things in the world that we just go, oh, Texas, they can't hack it in the SEC. Well, give them 5 years to recruit in the SEC, and then we can talk about it. And that's the same thing that happened. I mean, it took, like I said, it took A&M 10 years, and they're right there. So as long as you have the right people in place, as long as they can, if they don't have to worry about any other thing, which is what this move does, right? It eliminates everything. It eliminates concern on the recruiting trail. It eliminates the stability of their television contract. It eliminates all the extra variables that Texas has always had problems with. And because they are organized, and this is very similar to Tennessee, because they are organized, and the guy, Kevin Elteef, who's the in charge, who's basically the name that no one's ever heard of, who's the guy who got this to happen. Basically, one person made this happen. And it's Kevin Elteef, who is the head of the Board of Regents at the University of Texas. And he is in line with the board. The board is in line with the AD. The AD is in line with the coach and in line with the president of the university. They are all in line. And because that happened, they were able to all kind of pull in the same direction and jump to the SEC. So all that stuff is now, it's sort of like Tennessee, right? Like everybody at Tennessee, the power structure had to be organized for them to try to get good at football. And that's all that Texas has to do now. Now they've just got to focus on getting good at football. And that takes a while in the SEC, but with that kind of budget, that kind of recruiting base, and that kind of brand power, if you've got the right coach, I expect the first couple years to be pretty rough because there are definitely some dudes in the SEC that want to run up the score on Texas and Oklahoma. But I don't think it's going to take long. Like, you give Texas 3 or 4 years of recruiting classes in the SEC with that little patch on their shoulder pad when they walk into high schools, it's not going to take long for that defensive line to transform into an SEC defensive line. We've seen it at A&M. It's going to happen at Oklahoma and Texas. I have no concerns about their ability to compete as long as they have the right coaches.
The wheels are in motion as teams are about to open up camp in college football. They are already opening up in the NFL, which is providing a ton of storylines. Braden, what is going on with the different 440 sports channels? Braden, did we lose you?
Good, Josh.
Yeah, there you are. Oh, no.
One more time.
There he is. yeah, what's going on with the different 440 sports channels?
Oh! Of course, there's amazing things happening with the 440 Sports Channel. Now we've got obviously a ton of Preds news with free agency starting today, of course, and then we've got SEC Fringe Element out actually today. Like I said, really long conversation with Jeff Ketchum. If you want to really learn and sort of give yourself a PhD on Texas football, the politics of it all, the history, their relationship with Texas A&M, and sort of where they think they can go in the SEC and why they made the move, go ahead and check that out. Fringe Element out today, a day early. Lamestream Sports coming up on Friday about media, of course. We got Titans Camp out. So I just got back from there. I am completely drenched in sweat. but my God, was it fun to be on a practice field talking to a head coach and players, like, to their faces. Like, that's – I can't tell you how, like, the small joys in life of our profession, getting to actually just – you know, look at Roger Saffold or Mike Vrabel and just say, hey, how do you feel about this? And, like, for someone to actually just talk to you about sports face-to-face in a personal press conference was quite the joy. Titans are very excited. A lot of COVID questions, of course, but they're getting close to 90%. So that's every day on the 440 Daily. We'll give you Titans camp updates every single day on the 440. So go ahead and download, rate, review, subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe, share. Whispered into somebody's ear in a really creepy way. It's fine, whatever.
Hey, I do need the number for the complaint department because that guy y'all had on Lamestream last Friday. Oh, that was a brutal listen.
Super handsome, from what I understand.
But he's huge with moms, though. I tell you, like, he's big with moms. Moms love that guy. He rates very well with the moms.
The Janimal, my mother-in-law, was a big fan of last week's episode on Lamestream Sports, so go check that out. You'll find something you like with the different channels from 440 Sports, and you can follow Braden on Twitter. He'll share them there as well, at Braden Gall. Hey, Braden, agree with you. It's great to have practices there that people can see in person. Football is getting closer, and there's a lot to talk about. Thanks so much, and we will talk to you again soon.
Absolutely. Always a pleasure, guys.
Thanks, Braden. Braden Gall joining us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline.
And I kid. If people missed it last week,
yes,
you were great on the Lamestream Sports feed. Told an awesome story about being a board op for Jimmy Himes during an SEC Media Days. I loved it.
Got in a little bit of trouble back in my my producing days with Sports Talk, but that's behind us. It is. Go check out Lamestream Sports and all the different channels from 440. A cool note on Trey Smith with Kansas City Chiefs camp opened up. We'll tell you about that. We'll tell you about what's going on right here where we are today. The Kingston Pike location. Ted Russell Ford Lincoln is where we are today and will be until 3 o'clock on 99.1 The Sports Animal. Back on Sports 180, thank you for being with us as we continue at Ted Russell Ford Lincoln today. We're at the Kingston Pike location until 3 o'clock. A quick note on a former Tennessee football player. I don't think anybody is going to be surprised when I tell you this, that Trey Smith is already running first team at Kansas City Chiefs camp. As we say hello to Andy White right here at Ted Russell Ford Lincoln, you saw Trey Smith the last 4 years in Knoxville. I'm guessing you're not surprised to hear that he's already getting some first-team opportunities with the Chiefs.
No, and I don't think anybody at the Chiefs organization took them long to figure out either that he was going to be a major player. He's special, and unfortunately with all the coaching changes and everything that went on here, I don't think we got to see the full potential of it, but we'll get to see it next few years in the NFL.
Yeah, I think
absolutely
so.
The steal of the draft.
And with a franchise that really needed some offensive help, too, the Chiefs. I joke, but
they actually did need offensive line help.
They need some offensive line help. That's true. And but, you know, for him, what a great spot. You have Andy Reid. You have an organization that's that's well run. You have an offense that will be really good, and he can be a part of that.
He's going to be there for a long time.
No doubt. So, a perfect fit. But a cool note there that Trey Smith, who somehow slid during the draft process, he is already getting an opportunity to run first team with the Kansas City Chiefs. Andy, how are you?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Doing well. We've been talking a lot of football. We've been talking off the field as well with all these changes that appear to be coming to the SEC. But we've not been short for content, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, no kidding. Thank goodness. This is usually a low content time.
Yeah.
But you guys are getting ready to not only saving the content, you mean you've got everything going on and a lot of controversy and a lot of different things, whether – Olympics or baseball or, you know, anything.
There's something going on in the Olympics? I didn't know that.
A few storylines already coming out. Yes.
That's a cool story about the girl from Alaska.
Jacoby, yes. Yeah, only one 50-meter pool in the whole state of Alaska, and she grew up by it. I mean, there's just fate, destiny, right?
Yeah, that was really cool. I was, and then they showed her hometown on SportsCenter last night. She won the gold. They were all just crazy. It looked like outside of Lindsey Nelson's Super Regionals, those people watching and her winning. So I thought that was really
cool. What are you thinking about OU and Texas coming to the league probably sooner rather than later? Are you horns up or horns down?
Well, I'm always horns down, but I'm for it. I haven't heard a lot of people say that, but I'm only for it for selfish reasons because I went to college in Texas and have a lot of friends that – I didn't go to the University of Texas. But I have a lot of friends that are University of Texas fans, and I refuse to call them UT. So it did hurt when they did beat us in the World Series. Really tagged by them, but they said, now are you going to pull for the real UT? I said, wait a minute. This our school was a school before your state was a state, and if it wasn't for our state, you would be speaking Spanish now.
Yeah, you offer them a you're welcome.
Yeah. So that shut down the arguments real quick. But I'm going to have fun with the rivalries. I mean, I know we're a few years away from that. That's how the schedule is going to work, but we've already set up. There's about four of my buddies that live down there. One of them was in my wedding 25 years ago. We've already made plans wherever it's going to be.
Oh, yeah.
Here or in Austin, we'll be there. So,
what do you think is going to be the most arrogant fan base? Will Florida retain that title? Has Alabama solidified the title? Or Texas coming in? I mean, there's
– Texas is going to make a quick run.
Yeah.
At it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, but nobody's going to be worse than Florida.
I agree.
I can't. I mean,
Heather's
awful.
Hatred for Florida is difficult to match.
And that's going to be weird if they do go to the pod deal and you don't play Florida every year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's everybody's going to have to get used to new things because it's going to happen. And if I know the pod situations, you know, people have talked about it, but the SEC really hasn't. I've seen to have Auburn and Alabama in our pod, that's going to be rough. So I kind of like it. I think competition breeds success, and you know, we'll just have to keep fighting for that success to succeed.
Yeah, the SEC Network recommendation was it was 4 4-team pods, and Tennessee's was Alabama, Auburn, and Vanderbilt. Yeah. So that would be quite the combination. Maybe they go no divisions. Who knows? But yeah. They will still have time to figure it out, and that's the other question. Is this 2022? Is it 2023? I'd be surprised if it's beyond that, but I'm sure they want to make it happen as quickly as possible.
Yeah, yeah, and we've had our – I would also like to see – I've got a couple of Oklahoma friends, not like – the Texas guys beat us like a drum the last couple of times. Time for us to get some revenge. Wait for that. So
not have to wait till 2030.
Yeah, or 2052 or something, whenever it's going to be. I don't like sitting on those things for a long period. It's going to make that better, I think.
Andy White sitting with us here at Ted Russell Ford Lincoln, the Kingston Pike location. We walked in, and first thing Heather and I noticed was a Bronco.
Yeah, and
inside
one
the showroom.
That just
how about
pulled
that?
Up out here too.
Is
oh,
that right? Okay.
Oh, yeah. And a fun color too.
Yeah, that one's spoken for. People are on their way to pick that one up. But the one we have here, we're going to have here for a while. This is what we call a Ford mannequin unit. Not real sure why they call it that. It's for display purposes, I guess. That we're going to have it for a while. It's here available for test drives. It's here for you to look at. And, if you think it's something that you want, we've had a ton of people that have just come by and drive it, sit in it, look at it, feel it, and then test drive it. And they say, okay, this is what I thought it would be. I want to put in place my order. Still, we've taken a lot of orders. Nobody ever saw it. They just saw a picture of it. But we're taking just as many orders now that people are waiting because they wanted to drive it.
What does that order process look like to Andy of, hey, you can go in, you can customize, it's got all different kinds of packages, and then when estimated delivery is?
Well, it's time stamped. Mm-hmm. So the quicker you make the order, the quicker you get the vehicle. Right now there's commodity issues, and commodities are accessories, and that's right now there's hard top issues, soft top issues, not really soft top issues, but a lot of people that ordered hard tops, and the hard top's not like the old Bronco, if you picture that, where it's all one piece. Two hard tops, three pieces. You can take out one, two, or three. You don't have to take them all out or none. Any configuration you want. It's a really cool hard top. So those are starting to ease up now, and hopefully we can get things squared away and get people's in a timely manner. So best thing I can say is the quicker you get time stamped and the quicker that you get your order in, then quicker. And I can promise you, I got one of the first orders in the bank, and I had to do it just like everyone else. .com. Check out exactly what you want. Then at the end, it will ask you Kingston Pike or Parkside Drive. Quickly as we possibly can. It's always good to, you can do it all online. You never have to come to the dealership, but there are so many commodity restraints right now that even if you have an early time stamp, but they don't have that available, then they'll pack it up and go to the next one. So it's always good to know what's not restraint, and you can order it that way quicker.
What else is going on here for people to know about either here, Kingston Pike, Parkside Drive, or you mentioned online. You make it so easy, TedRussellFord.net.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we're still doing that. You know, there's a lot of COVID talk really today more than there has been in a couple of months. Mm-hmm. But we still have that available. We'll always have that available. Some will always have it. Right now, the sale on our pre-owned vehicles is unbelievable. The brand new F-150s. Starting to trickle in a little more. So we're expecting, we got five in Monday afternoon. By 6 o'clock that night, all five of them were sold and delivered. So don't sit around and wait long. If one shows up and you know it's here, it's time to come get it, because there are people, the supply and demand are not lined up right now. Supply is much, much lower. Wait for a minute. We don't have nearly enough vehicles.
People want them.
People want them, yeah. Well, that's why y'all are paying top dollar for trades right now, even if people don't end up trading.
We've done really good with just people coming in and pulling in on a lot, and they're getting back. So if you have a opportunity, you have an extra car or something laying around, you want to do the best you can with it, bring it by either one of our locations on Kingston Pike or Parkside, and you'll probably get blown away with what it's worth.
Also, make friends with one of the salespeople. It's always good to have. We might have got a text message, you know, back a few months ago. Hey, are y'all still looking for this type of vehicle? Because one just pulled up. I don't think anybody else test drove it.
Yeah. I've seen that Expedition driving around now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, two of my favorite Ford Lincoln drivers right here.
Yeah, we can tell you from our own experience buying and the search process, everything. So it's as easy as that. Come on by, give you a call, whatever they need to do to let you know what they're looking for.
And if you can't get by here, if you call us, talk to one of our sales professionals, we'll get you in touch with the person that's buying at that day, because our pre-owned managers are running around like crazy all over the Southeast, and they're trying to liquidate cars and buy cars. I would say a good 90% of the cars are all local that we have. We have about 300 used cars right now on both lots, and they're all pretty much local cars. There's a few from auctions that are sprinkled in there, but it's mostly people who've come by and just sold them to us, and they're good quality automobiles. A lot of time a second car for people that they didn't drive a whole lot, so there's not a lot of miles. A lot of sport utilities and trucks.
Andy White right here, locally owned and operated, Kingston Pike, Parkside Drive, and the website, tedrussellford.net. Andy, thank you for having us here today. We'll talk more football with you. It's right around the corner, and look forward to seeing you again soon. Thanks for sitting down with us today.
Absolutely. I appreciate you guys having us, being here, and we always look forward to it. It's always a cool day on our calendar every month.
Yep, we're holding out hope for the Braves tattoo as well.
Hey, we got a 12-5 win last night.
There you go.
Which
means a 1-0 shutout loss coming later today. We know how it goes.
Oh gosh, you're Lou Holtz in it big time now.
I've got some results to show.
Oh yeah, he does. Last weekend, if anybody wants to look it up.
Yep.
Scored one run, 15 runs, and one run the next game.
That's right. Yeah. Life of a Braves fan, everybody knows. Andy, thank you so much.
Absolutely. Good to have you guys again.
Another hour of Sports 180 to go in 15 minutes. We'll talk to Tennessee offensive coordinator Alex Golish right here on the Sports Animal.